This is World War III by proxy. That's all there is to it.
I'm talking again with Tom Bates and his newfound friend, Victoria. The war is real. People are suffering. But talking with Tom and Victoria shows how the human spirit will continue to rise up and help ease the burden of both humans and animals.
We are in Kharkiv at the moment.
Whoa.
Because we had no option. We were headed somewhere south, and we're stopped by the military at one of the checkpoints, and apparently our destination is now in Russian territory.
Oh, no.
Held to, yeah. And anyway, that really doesn't come as any surprise because the front line fluctuates, and we're in Kharkiv right at the moment.
And what city was your destination? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Bakhmut. And it is now under Russian control.
Oh.
So I don't think our hotel reservation is going to wait for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Anyway, it's been an interesting time since we last spoke. And we've been on a few missions, and I've been lucky enough to find I don't know if I could say it any other way, a soulmate on the road, Victoria, who's become, she's a young Ukrainian woman who has become my translator and my fellow magician. She's been making some good things happen, and something good happened to us tonight when the military said, go back.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she'll allow me, I'd like to turn it over to Victoria, and maybe you could ask her some questions if you would like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to answer anything that you have if you want to now, or we can chime in as we go along.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to introduce you to Victoria, also known as Lada. And I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name, but let's just say that we call her our secret weapon. And she has certainly proved to being so. Anyway, I'm going to let you talk to Victoria.
Hi there.
Hello there, Victoria.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So you're in Kharkiv now, too?
Yeah, we are in Kharkiv now, and all the way we were going to Izum. It was, you know, all the way full of the signs because we had broken something like the airbags in the car. And the way it started, it was just messy. And I was just, I'm not happy going there. My phone is working partly, sometimes partly not. Sometimes we get lost in Google. And we are going to the place that's danger, and I knew that. And I was trying to tell, but it was like, oh, no, that's just okay. Mm-hmm. But it appears that some media that don't show the real, like, map, and the guy we met here in Kharkiv, he explained us this also. Like, here in Kharkiv, it was like, so we won Kharkiv's ours, but it wasn't. And people were, for example, coming here, and he said just now they are not happy they came because it's again started like not maybe like it was in first days, but also we just heard some shooting in the street.
Wow. Tom had sent me pictures of some of the devastation that's happened, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what I've seen, but it's not like people here, they don't know actually what to do. And like it's almost, you know, everywhere in Ukraine, because now they are asking my friend who is here in Kharkiv, we came and I said, maybe I'll see you. And he was just, oh, you know, maybe, but if it's on your way, that's okay. I don't want to bother you. And he was, you know, he was living here. All the time he was helping people, bringing food. And actually, he don't have the job now. And he said, maybe you know someone who can get. And that's from many, you know, those who here in Kharkiv or just anywhere. and even those who have some business, and it's not, you know, good. So the main help people need here, like to get the job, and I don't know how to sort it out actually.
Well, are you in any danger right now?
Well, the guy says we should stay on one part of the hotel and another part we shouldn't use. But he said, you probably won't have to go to downstairs because they are striking not like it was. So, yeah, we are probably in a safe place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because things change so rapidly.
Yeah, and you know, for me it was I've heard this shooting and I was just like, what? Why again? Like because they said it's like here it's finished, but it seems it's not. So well, we have to, like, you know, Tom said today, things changed and we have to move with this and follow the line and follow the signs. Anyhow, we are doing what we can.
Yeah. So have you picked up any animals so recently?
You mean just during this trip? What do you mean? Did we pick up animals during this time we were?
Yeah.
We're going to go tomorrow to pick up those. Tomorrow, or we'll pick up a day after tomorrow. For tomorrow, we'll come to the Dnipro town and we'll have briquettes with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to ask because there are still animals here in Kharkiv. And I have friends who is taking care of the warehouse here in Kharkiv. And I'll ask, maybe she needs also to pick up some animals from Kharkiv while we are here, since we didn't go further. And I'm happy that we didn't, because we could be really in danger there.
Yeah. Well, I had gotten an email from Tom about, and a video about they picked up a goat and a raven.
Before they did a lot of, you know, speakings and lots of traveling with cats and dogs and people and lots of food for cats and dogs that should stay here because, you know, there is another problem. For sometimes people go with the animals and pets, and for example, they come to the town that is new to them and they cannot find the place for them to stay with pets. And that's also kind of, you know, they are stuck here because they are not sure they would come and they would be like, they would be searching for something and they don't know how to do this. And well, when people were living abroad sometimes, but you know, it's awful, but they did, like, they just left the pets in front of the stations. And I have a friend who also picked those animals and took care of them. And it's, you know, kind of messy here still.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things to do.
Yeah. So you can't go south. So what's your next step?
Well, tomorrow we're going to try to get to Dnipro. But you see, now we have to ask at militaries if it's safe to go there or not, because it appears that might be also, we don't know for sure now if Russians would move there forward, because the situation actually changed through this day during 24 hours, because when we were planning this trip, I think John was planned it, and it was quite safe. Well, I won't say it's safe, but it was like more or less they said it's good to be there. Like the Ukrainian army came there, but now it's red on the map, and the military that stopped us, they said that it's under control of Russians.
Well, I've been, you know, reading what news has been in the local papers, and some of it has been saying that the Ukraine army has made a lot of progress. And then today there was something about how Russia had reclaimed territory in the east. So are either of those true?
I'm going to tell you the story that I was told just right here at the hotel that we are staying at. The owner, he lives here in Kharkiv, and he lives in the area that's called Saltovka. And there were times when Saltovka was occupied by Russians. And then in Ukrainian media, they said, like, it's free from Russian, you can go there. And he tried to go there to bring some aid to people because he was caring actually about them. Because he lives there, a lot of people know him, and he was trying to help those people. So he went there, and again, military stopped him and said, like, if you want to leave, you shouldn't go there, kind of this. Though it was said in media that it's free from Russian, you can go there, but it wasn't. And he said, like, in media, they don't show the true map. With some reasons, maybe, but anyhow, you can't find out the real situation until you are here. Like we sorted out today, and the man said, so I asked him that, like, maybe he knows the situation was around Dnipro because we are hidden there, and he said, you should ask those militaries who would stop you because they know it better. Because it's changed all the time.
Wow. Oh, I just can't imagine the amazing things that you are doing. Because I mean, you would probably be able to leave anytime you wanted. So what keeps you there?
You know, I have friends here. There are lots of people who need help. And, you know, I also, when it was started and I was, okay, I have to leave because Kyiv, and my friends wrote me, just leave Kyiv because, and it was good, you know, good decision. But still, I went there. Then I went also abroad because I took some of my kids, I took care of them. I tried my best. But I thought, okay, I'll leave, and I still have my mind here because I have friends in Kharkiv, in Odessa, in Kyiv. I have friends in Dnipro, everywhere. And I have lots of people who need help. And okay, I will leave, and others would leave. Who would help them, you know? And it was like I was telling to my friend who is in Kharkiv all the time, just leave Kharkiv, please. And he said, I have to help because there are people who cannot just go away. They're old people. There are some people that are afraid. They are staying somewhere in the basement and they cannot leave with some reasons. And I also know my friends who were living in Kharkiv, they were striked in the train. It was really horrible times, and they never knew, is it better to stay somewhere in more or less safe place or to leave and to be killed somewhere on the road. So that's another option for those people. You know, I am just trying to help those who are in, you know, kind of more danger or something like this. Because anyway, I would think of this, okay, I left there, so okay, I'm safe, more or less, yeah? But those people, they are staying here and they are struggling. They are trying to survive. So I'm trying to do something like to help them, you know? Because otherwise, I would just won't feel like, okay, I was doing something, you know, and I was trying to. When I get to Poland, there was a girl who actually get me out of Ukraine. She said, oh, just go, because there were strikes, because for a few months I were in Lviv. It was safe, more or less. But she said, okay, if that would be danger there, you promise me you'll leave. So I promised, and I kept the promise. I left. But I had to come back because my mind was here, you know, with all those people who here. And it was like, I stayed there, okay, but I have to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
So anyhow, I'll try my best. I'll do my best to help those who need help.
Yeah. Well, that's so admirable. I just admire you so much for staying there. And my question is, how can people help? Is there something that we can do from way over here?
Oh, you know, maybe the best help would be really kind of paying attention to those who are staying here and, you know, supporting by, I don't know how to figure it out. But if you can, for example, order something from Ukraine, if you see someone who is doing something, it's really difficult for here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All the businesses are closed. I have friends who have, for example, it's called like the mini zavod. It's like small factory. They are producing stamps or something on the t-shirts or wherever. They do print. And they don't have actually, I don't know, much of clients because of the war. And when it started, they were doing for the military those. And, you know, it just ran out of those. And I have friends also, for example, in Kyiv. And they had also kind of small businesses. But all of them, they need, I don't know how to help them, really. I have no idea. All I know is that people need the job. And my friend, this one from Kharkiv, he said, maybe you know someone who is in an organization who I can work for, like, because they, all of those people, they need job. They don't want, okay, we'll donate you or something, because we were trying, you know, to send the food. And he said, okay, I gave the food to those who need. And I said, but don't you need? And he said, but I can work. I need a work. I mean, I need to get a job. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, but if you'll send more, he said, okay, I'll give it to those people who need. And it was like, oh, so I don't know how to help, really. It's kind of, if you find a way to give the job to the people, that would be the best help for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you or someone will find the way and give us this, you know, idea how to do this, that would be really great, because they really, they don't want, you know, just, okay, give us some money. They want to do something and to receive something for this. That's it. And, you know, for me, I said, okay, maybe you'll come to Kyiv because it's maybe easier there, or you'll come. And he said, okay, but still there are people who need my help here. And I was just, oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that this series of updates from Ukraine, you know, will help people remember, you know, because it's kind of fading from the headlines, and that kind of disturbs me. But for the listeners, I have the Ukrainian flag on my fingernails. So to remind me and people that I meet, to remind them that, you know, there's people there who are suffering.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, because it's really important, you know, to know that someone, I know that lots of people care about and trying to help and willing to help. And thank you for your paying attention to all those. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel so far away, and there's no way that I could be there. So hopefully sending the energy and getting this, you know, word out will be of help.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, really. Thank you for support. And, well, I think I'll pass the phone to Tom.
Okay.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Victoria.
Powerful force there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So how are you holding up, Tom?
Oh, really well. well, considering. Mm-hmm. Today was kind of an air out of the balloon, but in a good way. You know, your expectations just, you can't really rely on mm-hmm. keeping them. So mm-hmm. We just have to roll with it when it comes at us, and it really helps to have Victoria along. I couldn't do it without her. I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't come past probably Lviv without an interpreter, and not just any interpreter. We've right. become good friends and share a lot of the same convictions, and it just seems like it was meant to happen. And we've been fortunate enough to meet other people out here, even today, where we made a delivery, and spiritually everybody is in lockstep and able to communicate through spirituality and discuss for the Russians and Putin. The animals are just a small fraction of what's going on here, but that's our main focus. They're part of people's families. When we get in Kharkiv before, we help out the military people by feeding their dogs. They're part mm-hmm. of the family. Mm-hmm. The soldiers get up in the morning. They get in their car that they painted camouflage. They drive to the front line. They do their 8 hours or however long they're there. And then if they're lucky enough, they go home. And when they go home, it would be it's our goal to make sure that their families are fed, including their animals. And the money that they would spend on their animals can be spent on them. We're just putting Band-Aids on big open wounds, but that's all we have to work with. And the fact is that there is no large NGOs working over here. What Victoria was describing is independent, renegade type of humanitarian work. And that's what our organization that I work with is. And it's really not an organization. We've pulled away from everything. We are completely independent. We self-fund. We depend on the kindness and the generosity of people. We've had large deliveries of animal food, people food, medicines that we haven't paid for, but we do continue to pay a lease on a warehouse. We lease the van. We put all the fuel in our tanks, and it comes out of our pockets. So I've run a couple Indiegogo fundraising sites, and that's where I get my money from.
Yeah,
to put the diesel in and be able to find the diesel is.
So you can you repeat again where people can donate?
Well, you know, there is Dan Fine and Tana Axtells, who has our Animal Rescue Fund, which is one of our big supporters. And if somebody wants to donate to a foundation that is 501(c), that would be the one and only, because we do get supported by them. For us personally, I have an Indiegogo site up right now. It's Relief for the War Animals, Tom Bates. Just
Google Indiegogo Tom Bates and you'll find it. I'm happy to take PayPal payments. You want to take a leap in faith and send me some money, I'll tell you where it's going to go. It's going to go in the fuel tank. It's going to go in people's mouths, into animals' mouths, and maybe a cup of coffee now and then.
But, well, you need that. Yeah.
I'm becoming a caffeine fueled renegade.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my email for PayPal is tagtacoma@mac.com. That's tagtacoma@mac.com. And anybody who wants to send me a little bit of money, it goes directly to me and I get it fast and I can turn that into diesel fuel.
Yeah, yeah. So another question I have, I mean, you know, having, well, I won't go into my history, but I know that burnout is can be a big issue. And I'm wondering if there are things that happen that energize you.
Being on the road, being in Ukraine, being with Victoria, making magic, making people happier than they were before we got there, and helping. That's what motivates me. I am burnout for me is being back in Poland.
Oh, right.
Waiting to get another mission and leave. What I was also trying to make a point of is everything that's happening here, as Victoria described with her friend in Kharkiv and us and other individuals, is these are the little white vans, the little vans that are coming into Ukraine. There's no big convoys of humanitarian aid. There may be an occasional semi-truck that makes it to Lviv or Kyiv or maybe Kharkov and quite possible Dnipro. But this is like the little boats coming over from England to Dunkirk to help pick up the, take care of the people. Someday there's going to be a story about the little vans that saved Ukraine.
Yes. Well, I hope we can tell that story soon.
Yeah, I do too. And the resilience of the Ukrainian people is just mind blowing. They put up with some adversity. I know that the citizens of the United States would have a hard time getting into. It's just a mind blow for me. I have so much respect for them.
Well, you continue to amaze me.
Well, so, I'm not trying to amaze anyone. I'm just doing what I know I can do. You know, it really breaks my heart to see the world watching. Not really. I mean, we're sending military aid in. But after that, this is World War III by proxy. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
And it continues to amaze me that we're just not seeing the help that the people need. And they need jobs. Victoria's absent. You know, I've been in some of the biggest grocery stores. There's food everywhere here, but no one can buy it. Just a few.
Oh, yeah.
And on another note, I want to share this with you that was going to change your mind about an American institution is that McDonald's restaurants in Ukraine shut their stores down at the beginning of the war and have been continuing to pay their employees.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yes, whoa. That completely shocked me. So my hat's off to the McDonald's Corporation for doing that. I can't believe I'm saying that.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, corporations, you know, sometimes can have a heart, I suppose.
Well, they do, but anyway.
Yeah, on that personal level,
Our mission continues. We're going to be heading to Dnipro to pick up a woman and her three cats and take her to Poland so her daughter from Vienna can pick her up.
We were requested to do that through a mutual friend in Germany. And this is how these missions come about. We just get, we're gaining a reputation as people that will get the job done. And I don't know how the word spreads, but the network here is amazing. And there's a lot of people that are making it happen. And I appreciate it all.
Well, thank you. Is there anything you would like to add before we close?
Well, we just spent the previous evening in Kyiv, and Kyiv is back to normal almost. You can hardly tell there's a war going on there. They've cleaned up all the checkpoints for the most part. There's still bombed out bridges. Plenty of when you go up around Bucha and Irpin, there's plenty of destruction there, and on the outskirts of Kyiv and downtown Kyiv as well. Like, you'd be driving along and you'll see the side of a 20-story apartment complex with a corner of it blown out from a missile strike. And you do hear air raid sirens at night. Mostly they're benign, but you never know. Never know. So anyway, I just hope that your listeners and the American people would quit killing each other. It's safer here in Ukraine than it is in the United
States. Well, it seems to be. Gosh.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's ironic.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I will certainly be thinking of you and hoping to spread the word about the good work you're doing and things that you might need from us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, everything is available as far as food, medicine, you name it, here in Europe, here in Poland, or over in Poland, not here, where we are now. Mm-hmm. We can purchase it, or people can order it and have it sent to us. Mm-hmm. So what I will do is I'm going to send you a link to the location of our warehouse.
Okay.
And perhaps, and I will also send you a link to some pet supply stores in the area. Mm-hmm. And that's another way your listeners could help us out, is they could order directly and just have it sent to us.
Wow. Cool. Very cool.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to try to wind down a little bit and get some sleep before tomorrow. And then we're going to go out and distribute the food that we weren't able to take down to our intended spot. And then we're going to head for Dnipro, pick up the lady and the three kitty cats, and head back to Poland and begin the next mission, which is coming back to Kharkiv with swimming pools for waterfowl. I'm serious.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I wish you and Victoria safe travels.
Yeah, thank you. And we wish you a good evening. I know it's daytime there, but it feels like evening to us. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay. I look forward to talking with you again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you will. You'll talk to both of us. Okay.
Okay. Good bye-bye. Night.
A few days after our conversation, Tom sent an email with this information. We are an independent, loosely knit direct action network of people delivering animal food and supplies throughout Ukraine. I have been the only American in this group until the last week, while the rest are from all over Europe. This previous trip involved deliveries to Kyiv, Kharkiv, and Dnipro. 400 kilograms of dog food was delivered to Svetlana and Pavel in Kharkiv. They operate a dog food distribution operation called Dog Help Kharkiv UA. It is a Facebook page that manages who gets how much food, how often they receive it, and when the next distribution will be. If they have a large dog, they get X amount, a small dog, X amount. This is to control any black market attempts. The two work with the Ukrainian military for volunteer help and distribution in dangerous areas. Currently, the main need is tick and flea meds. The disease ticks pass along to the dogs, kills them. No recovery after infection. The route to Kharkiv begins in Poland, to Lviv and Kiev, to Kharkiv. I then take more supplies to Dnipro. The night I was in Dnipro, there was a rocket attack on a Ukrainian National Guard barracks 5 kilometers from me. I heard the sirens, then the explosion. 9 soldiers were killed. That morning I picked up someone's Ukrainian mother from Dnipro and her 3 cats to bring them to the safety of Poland. The drive back to Poland took a day and a half. The border crossing went smoothly because all of our documentation was in order. The daughter of this woman is picking her up along with her 3 cats at our warehouse today and taking them back to her home in Vienna, Austria. I will be leaving for Kharkiv again this week, delivering the flea and tick meds that are needed, as well as traveling to Dnipro to deliver more animal supplies and salt. The Russians have destroyed the only salt-producing facility in southern Ukraine, and most of Dnipro is without it. To send a message to Tom, his email is tagtacoma@mac.com. That's tagtacoma@mac.com. You can donate to Ukraine War Animal Relief Fund at GoFundMe, which is a 501c3. Or search Indiegogo for Tom Bates. For links to the pet food stores in Poland, email info@radiotacoma.org with Ukraine in the subject line. Anything and everything helps, even if you just paint your fingernails.